May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 79. Behold what wondrous grace the Father has bestowed on sinners of a mortal race to call them sons of God. Hymn 79.
Thank you. from the Holy Word of God. Let us read in the book of the prophet Isaiah, read chapter 53 and also chapter 55. In the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapters 53 and 55. Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded, margined, tormented for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The margin tends to show the weight and greatness of the matter. Made the iniquity of us all to meet on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, or again margin away by distress and judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Chapter 55. Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon, margin, multiply to pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Let us pray. O thou great and blessed God, the I am that I am, we entreat thee for the gracious help, the divine aid of the Holy Ghost here tonight. What is religion without the Holy Ghost? Is nothing but a dead form, and death's in it all and stamped upon it. But dear Lord Jesus, thou great and holy, a merciful Lamb of God, Oh, do send the Holy Spirit to us from the Father. May we reverently ask in thy name, Lord Jesus, O prevailing name, as we draw near unto God, according to thy own word. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? Oh, how full that is. How wonderful it is to poor, naked, condemned sinners, evil. Though we're evil, we give good things to our families and loved ones. Oh, but those poor sinners that ask in thy name of their merciful and holy Father, in the name of precious Jesus, oh, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit them that ask him. Oh, we beg the Holy Spirit may be here with us tonight, in pulpit and in pew. May things be done. Oh, may things be done forever. Want something forever and ever and ever. Oh, we don't want a religion for this world, looking nice and good. But in reality, we shall need it when we come to die. And death is on the road, and life ever on the wing. We know not what a day may bring forth, Lord. Oh, how we need thee. We need thy blessing. Oh Lord, make thee precious to us. Oh, make thyself real to us. May the Holy Spirit testify to our hearts and consciences in that infallible way that thou art with us. Thou art our God. Our sins, which are so many, are all forgiven. Oh, grant blessings to the poor. Those poor sinners that need thee. Those poor sinners that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Those poor sinners who thirst for the living God. Those poor sinners that call upon thy precious, all-pervading name. Who believe thou art that blessed friend of sinners, the Lamb of God. Oh, bless poor sinners here tonight. All about those who trust in thee, wait upon thee. Those who feel so guilty and ashamed. Those that are so destitute of all good. They want God. Or maybe we'll be directed tonight to thee. Oh, that mighty Saviour. Oh, that hiding place provided by God. Oh, that refuge for sinners. Oh, the sinner's friend. Would you show thyself friend in everlasting covenant love to us, we pray. We may be helped, Lord, to truly trust. Console us within our own breast. Oh, grant us and show us thy great salvation and the secrets of thine everlasting covenant. Bless us with repentance unto life. Bless us with precious faith. Oh, we want to know thy good hand is toward us. It is a good hand. No question about that, Lord. But, oh, thou wilt turn the wicked into hell. We want to know indeed that thou art for us and not against us. That it is well now while life endures. And it will be well when called to die. Oh, therefore increase our faith and show thyself through the lattices of the gospel. Oh, may thy word not return to thee void here tonight, be just read. Oh, like the rain and the snow come down, don't return thither, water the earth and maketh it bring forth bud. Oh, so shall my word be. May it be so in my case, or may it be so in each of our cases. So shall my word be. Oh, make it prosper. Oh, send it in the thing that thou art pleased, in thy holy purposes to accomplish here tonight. In the hearts and lives of sinners. Oh, we're all sinners, Lord, in the same boat. Though some of us have to confess we're far worse than anybody else. Worst in the chapel. Ah, Lord. And as those that groan within themselves. have bitter thoughts about themselves but want God. No, they need a reconciliation. Oh, I long for thee to arise. We're healing in thy wings. They don't just want to hear their poor men and sit pleased with it. No, Lord, our poverty pinches us. Lord, we want deliverances. Oh, do come on, deliverances for Jacob tonight. Send some good cheer from the gospel into our hearts, Lord. Oh, may we hope in God, a precious risen Jesus. May the Holy Ghost set thee before our very eyes. May the Holy Ghost, Lord, truly reveal thee within. Oh, that our souls might worship thee. It's for all our sins, may have a sweet hope, yea, a sweet realization, even in those gracious visits when thou hast drawn near to thy people. Ah, that we're thine, forever thine, complete in thee. Wash from all our sins. Though we've still got that awful sinnership. Ah, Lord, but even in the sweet hope that thou art ours, all the sins to come are yet washed. Washed at Calvary, let us die once. Oh, may the Holy Ghost testify these things to us. And may we be helped to then to yield ourselves unto God. Yield our members unto righteousness, unto holiness. Oh, show us the new and living way. Cast every care and live by faith. Believe thou art good, leaving all issues and matters and troubles and tumults with one so gracious. One so merciful. Oh, we thank thee that truth, that resurrection thou didst declare. All power. All power. That wonderful Lord. Power in the hand of Jesus. How wonderful that is. Well, poor, vile, stinking sinners might come to thee then, Lord. Because power and love in Christ combined, we sing. Oh, an able, willing Saviour too. All the poet goes on to say, beautiful hymn, Lord. Is he a sun? On thee he'll shine. Is he thy God? He'll bring thee through. Oh, grant us such a portion, we pray. Bring us through. Bring us through our day safely. Deal gently, deal mercifully. Not according to our sins and follies, but the riches of grace. Oh, to spare us to be fruitful. Make us fruitful in the earth. Oh, make us ready, Lord. Sanctify all troubles to us, they may prove among the all things working for our good. Oh, we've many crooked things. Each one of us has crooked things, Lord. Things that really frighten us. Things that weigh us down. Oh, things that are niggling worry all day long and sometimes all night long. Ah, Lord. Oh, may we call upon thee. Cast our care. Live with God. Fill him out with arguments. Oh, though thou mayest be silent like there was the Syrophoenician woman, that may, as it were, spurn us away and say real, truthful things about us. Oh, she was a dog. Ah, she knew she was. She didn't argue against that, Lord, but she pleaded the truth of thee. Help us to do so. Or we won't fight the convictions, the awful reproofs, the awful knowledge we have of ourselves. Oh, we can only acknowledge all to be true, so solemnly true. We deserve the lowest hell. But when we fill our mouth with arguments, thou art the Christ, thou art Jesus, sitting there. Oh, do us good tonight. Oh, we come and we hope, and we seek and we hope to find a portion for our souls. We're all then among us in various walks of life and different ages, Lord, bless her. Dear young friends, and we think especially those dear children, to the ones that are brought here, Lord, what a world they live in. Oh, bless them. Oh, lay thy hands upon them and bless them, we pray. In the presence of anxious parents, may we bring our families, oh, our grandchildren, unto thee, Lord, and ask thou indeed be very merciful to them in due time in thy holy grace, and of course with thy goodwill. Oh, the goodwill declared at thy birth. Oh, goodwill toward men, to hear their poor prayers for thy name's sake. Oh, therefore in thy goodwill, hear our poor prayers for thy name's sake, to have mercy upon our families and each one. We think of the afflicted, the distressed, those bowed down under many cares and troubles. We pray for them. Bless the married and the unmarried, each with their various and peculiar needs. Remember the afflicted, the poorly, those that are weak. Remember those that are dying. Lord, have mercy. Oh, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Let us take the old ministers home to raise up, oh, true Holy Ghost sent ministers in their place. So old sheep are taken home, or may lambs appear in the fold, we humbly pray. Oh, remember widows and widows, all in trouble here. Oh, we pray for each to supply all our needs. Help us, Lord, wisdom, give us wisdom. First things first. First things first, Lord. Vital things first. To seek thy kingdom. Oh, indeed, to seek that righteousness. Oh, first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Left to ourselves, we get it back to front, Lord. Providence first, earthly scene first. Eternal reality is a little later. No, Lord, make us wise in the matter. First things first. Ah, thou hast promised, Lord, to add everything else that we need. And we don't need to tell thee what we need. Because when living here, that it say, Lord, that our heavenly Father knows what we have need of before we ask. Ask, ye shall receive, that is say. Oh, may we ask then. Oh, may we seek, yes, Lord, not great things in life, but those blessed things that are above. And be content with our lot and our matters, believing in the Lord, casting our care, believing thou wilt appear, for thou art good and gracious. Do hear our thanksgivings for so many mercies we and coming close now, all time slipping away so quickly, to the close of another year, the so-called Christmas season with us, as we remember in Western Christendom thy birth and thy visiting the earth, and to blessed, defenceless, humble yet holy and blessed babe. Oh, the Son of God, manifest in the flesh of a babe, a defenceless babe. Oh, what a wondrous truth that is. With us, growing up into this world, doing everything for us, Lord. Fulfilling all righteousness for unrighteous, ungrateful monsters that we are. Fulfilling righteousness for us, Lord. And giving thyself over unto death for us poor sinners. And we don't serve thee or love thee as we should. No, we don't. We come so short, so far off. The deacon prayed, confessed far offness, coldness and distance. We have to confess it. When the eyes upon us all day long, we've often got eyes the wrong way. Or sometimes eyes on sinful things too. We're that bad. But we do confess it, Lord. Oh, make us real Christians. Still forgive us. Still receive us graciously according to the promise. Oh, bless us poor sinners. We believe in thee and the fullness of thee. Worship thee in spirit and in truth. Here tonight we pray. Oh, thy kingdom come. So help us now tonight. We would count our blessings. We would count our mercies. You know, there are many, no doubt, poor friends here. Some have, oh, devastating trials and worries, Lord. Yet even so, may there be an acknowledgement of thy tender mercy and goodness thus far. We long how the poet puts it, Lord. May we pray in poetry if we may. Ah, here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I'm come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Oh, grant it to us, we pray. So we bless thee for thy wonderful mercies. Oh, since we were born, oh, thou hast brought us safely through to this day. And we humbly hope and believe in thy own covenant faithfulness, thou wilt bring us safely through all our days. and safely home to God. So bless us now, Lord. Anything that we should have prayed for, omitted, please make up in giving. Notice how frail and weak we are in prayer. And also, Lord, anything we've asked wrongly, oh, do blot it out, Lord. There's sins in our prayers, sins in our preaching, sins in our holy things. But wash us thoroughly of all our iniquity. Ah, no sin in thy prayers, Lord. No sin in thy life here. Lord, our righteousness and peace. Oh, a good God. Oh, may we poor sinners be enabled, for a few moments tonight, to worship a good God and to give thee all the honour and praise that is due. So bring us safely through this service and bring us safely through our days. But we ask this also, Lord, as thou hast brought us safely through all our years thus far, all be that same God to us in the coming year. But please just spare us into it, Lord, and through it according to thy good will. All to be that same God as thou hast been to this moment of time. O good God, a blessed God. But wouldn't presume about the new year. Oh, be with us. Thy will be done in earth upon us in our lives here below, as it is in heaven. Pray thy kingdom come. So have mercy upon us. Pardon our iniquities, we plead. We plead thy precious name, all-prevailing name, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 709. The Lord that made both heaven and earth, and was himself made man, lay in the womb before his birth, contracted to a span. Hymn 709.
complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost. I ask your prayerful attention to the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, and to verse 29. The Gospel according to John, chapter 1, and to verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John here pointing out Christ as the Lamb of God. Not all who heard John believed and repented. Not all who heard Christ believed and repented of their sins. Oh, that they would hear him again in this matter, and said he had a devil and was mad. Why hear ye him? We hope we'd not stoop in this chapel tonight to such low language and how rebellion as that blasphemy, but oh, how vital it is to know him as our Lamb, my Lamb. Sinner, have you a lamb? Has there been a sacrifice for you? Has there been a sacrifice for me? Is Jesus, the eternal Son of God, your lamb? Is he my lamb? The difference between the answers, which we won't give to each other, but it lies in your conscience, my friends, and in mine as well. The difference is an eternal difference. If Christ is not your Lamb, in living reality, oh, the exercise of precious faith in living upon him and calling upon him and pleading him, and reverencing him and delighting in him, worshipping him, trusting wholly, living to his glory. Ah, my friends, an eternal difference between those who know him and reverence him, as I said just then, and worship him. Oh, the blessed issue, forever with the Lord. Amen, so let it be. But if not, oh, what a solemn eternity. The eternity of the lost. Oh, that world of lower spirits. Outer darkness. Eternal misery. Where the worm doth not die. Where the fire is not quenched. In the Old Testament times, they worship by sacrifice. And my dear friends, many of them worshipped by sacrifice, had no heart in it. And God read their hearts as they come, he knew their need. My dear friends, in Christianity we say we believe in a sacrifice. The general profession is we trust in the sacrifice of Christ, a general faith profession. But these things are personal by the teaching of God in our hearts and the working of these precious things in our lives. He makes himself known. He calls. He draws. He gives eternal life. He teaches. He sanctifies. In my earlier days, hear much of that expression, the vital necessity of a Holy Ghost religion. We don't hear of it so much today, do we? a Holy Ghost religion, very personal, and we're brought to repentance. We're brought to abhor ourselves. We're brought to thirst for the living God. We're brought into an exercise that ends in victory. Oh, a religion that will end in possession. A faith given by God in all its workings will fight and overcome and possess the land. Oh, you see, faith will give place to sight. Instead of viewing him afar off and trusting and believing those things that are sweetly written and taught in our hearts, you see, we possess the land, we see him. The hope we express in our Christian profession, my dear friends, will give way, my friends, to real possession. They don't hope in heaven. They don't live by faith in heaven. But the love that was first kindled, the exercise of the great concern, solemn convictions, solemn awakenings, further reproofs and convictions as we journey on of our sinnership and wretchedness before him, yet the feeding of the soul, the strength of weak hands, the confirming of soul, the washing away of iniquity, the sweet hope raised up, you see. Yes, all in everlasting love to you. The love springing back in return, such little love compared with him. Oh, his love. I don't care for those who say how much they love God. I mean, I don't care for much their religion. I'm not saying I don't care for the person, but their religion, their profession. My chief complaint is, as the poet says, my love so cold and faint. What's his love compared with ours? But there's a secret here. We love him because he first loved us. And it may be a very, very small return. But he knows your inward delight in him and desire to him in real gratitude. You live in hope one day, as McShane put it, to love him with an unsinning heart. Our trouble is the nature we are. Sin. The flesh. The worldly carnal mind, it made the apostle groan. But there is a lamb, my friend. There is a lamb. Blessed be God. Oh, I have to tell the Lord I don't know how to preach from this tonight. It's such a vast and glorious and blessed truth. I read Isaiah 53 and 55. Firstly, the Isaiah 53. The offering of the lamb, a description of it. Not technical descriptions, had to do with the soul, didn't it? The soul of Christ. His suffering. And it's to do with your soul too, my friends, and my soul. I had to miss out 54. I didn't like missing out 54. I tend to like those three chapters to be together when I read, but there's not time. 54, speaking to the barren. Those that did not bear. Oh, the children of the married wife, more of the widow more than the married wife, saith the Lord. Oh, those promises. Yes, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Oh, the promise there, you see, in that beautiful chapter 54. Though for a small moment have I forsaken thee, great mercies will I gather thee. See, there's a description in that chapter of the ups and downs of a man that lives by faith. And his faith stands not in the word, in the mere letter of the truth, the word of God, but in power. That your faith shall not stand in the wisdom of man, but in power. There's a faith that stands in power. It's given by God. It's maintained. It's supported. It would never die. gets very low, flickers very low, like you see a candle flickering sometimes, ready, as it were, to go out, but that candle of eternal life and that gift of faith, which is the mother of faiths, of all these spiritual gifts, faith is the mother of them. Ah, my dear friend, never go out. You're a blessed man that trusts. And then the promise, O thou afflicted, tossed with terror, not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colours. Yes, there will be deliverances, and there's such a hereafter. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children, Zion's children. So you who long to know the Lamb and his blessing, the Lamb and the efficacy of his sacrifice, the living Lamb in heaven to be your Lord, your Redeemer, your friend, your mighty Saviour, your Shepherd, yeah, your hiding place forever. Oh, all thy children shall be taught, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Great shall be the children of Zion, their peace, such a vast eternal peace. That's the hope of the gospel. You who fear him and seek him, one day you'll live with him forever. Then chapter 55, where I've read the sweet encouragement there. And the word of God, hearken diligently unto me, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Hear, and your soul shall live. Hear of the Lamb of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, the blessedness. Yes, the word of God pronounces blessedness. And that word, my friend, is a living word. Oh, it's not the mere technical points or the letter of the truth of faith, but it takes hold of your soul, your spirit. He becomes the word of God to your soul as Christ. You begin then to see the beauty and glory of Emmanuel in the scriptures. That is, in the promises, in the hope, in the living upon him, in the drinking of the truth by the Holy Ghost. Well, he said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. And that isn't a once repentance, you know. We don't just, as it were, once do these things. It's a daily repenting and daily turning, a daily fighting, a daily confessing of our sins. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy upon him. How many times have you had to turn to the Lord? He had mercy on you. Is there not a promise of those that turn, and those that turn, and those that turn? And to our God we will abundantly pardon. Beautiful word, abundantly, very greatly. Oh, in such an eternal abundance. And I like the margin, multiply. Multiplication without end, you know. Till 70 times 7. If we are told to forgive our brethren when they trespass against us, sin against us, till 70 times 7, how much shall the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God? May the Lamb of God be the Word of God to our souls here tonight. Or may the Holy Ghost be in the ministry here tonight. Be with my mouth and be with our ears and our hearts to receive. I need the gospel I preach, my friends. Now, behold the Lamb of God. So man, blessed man, blessed eternal Son of God, he walked towards John. And he pointed him out, you see. He'd been told you'd see him. Yes, whom the Holy Ghost came upon, you'd see him. And many didn't recognize him. A man of sorrows acquainted with grief, the carpenter's son. My dear friends, but those blessed with eternal life had such a peculiar eye of faith. They recognized him because intimated to their soul their need, their ruin of an offering for sin. In their ruin, their need of an offering for sin, and they view by faith. Christ means something to you under the sweet working of the Holy Spirit in your soul. He becomes a living, bright reality. But the wonder is, oh, the wonder of it, sinners can say, and none but they, how precious is the Saviour. And you know your sinnership here tonight, friend, if you're taught by God. If there's been a kindling of eternal life in your soul, it's a life that will never die. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it. But you see, in that kindling, you'll begin to know who Christ is. You'll need him. You want him. He can only do for you that will satisfy your soul. You cannot do for yourself. You cannot bless yourself, save yourself, subdue your own sins. Yeah, you cannot prepare yourself for glory. You can't make yourself righteous. You can't control your wicked heart at times. Oh, how many times your wicked heart got the better of you? But there in that eternal life is a turning. Confessions and weepings, calling upon him. The more we're taught, I believe, the more we'll fill him up with arguments to obtain all that you see in him. This is the believing to the saving of the soul. Not just a once experience, my friends. As we do here, that's just that believing and always so good afterwards and forevermore. But it's a believing again and again. Oh, I do hope when I come to the swellings of Jordan, I have to light prayers against it, you know. When I come to the swellings of Jordan, oh, may my faith not fail then. Oh, that I might believe in him then. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth, to believe in that dear Redeemer. But it's a work that will never die. You will believe, friend. You will trust. You will see him. You will lay hold upon him because he laid hold upon you in your soul and kindled an exercise. He that's begun a good work in you will perform to the day of Jesus Christ. You must come to this blessed Lamb. And I want to be brief, the Lord have to be brief, the Lord helping me, though it's such a vast subject. This Lamb of God, his person. His person. And then secondly, well, his work, but particularly his great offering for sin. And the promise, lastly, that springs forth from him who looks as a lamb that has been slain in glory. Oh, there's a lamb in glory. Slain in the eternal thought of God from before the foundation of the world. The living Lamb, a precious, shining, holy, glorious Jesus, receiving his enemies, sin-loving sinners. Do you know that condemnation? Your poor minister knows the condemnation. By nature, a sin-loving sinner, but now subdued by sovereign grace, my spirit longs for thy embrace. Firstly, then, the Lord help me. Ah, the person, this Lamb of God, God himself, in the glorious person of his own eternal beloved Son, Jesus is God. As our holy heavenly Father is God, as the Holy Ghost is God. But for God to do pure justice, and he can only do pure justice, friend, God cannot sin. Sin must be punished. It's an affront to his glorious majesty. And so, my dear friends, as he saw me ruined in the fall and loved me notwithstanding all, and you, some of you here, would to God it was everyone, but that's God's secret, not mine. I don't intrude in that. But you who fear him and seek him are included. You long to know him and be saved, you're included. But as he saw us ruined in the fall, yet loved us notwithstanding all, so he did that that Almighty God alone could do. Hidden from the devil and all fallen angels and lying spirits, hidden from man when he felt himself naked, he knew he was undone forever. Can he run away from God, feeling death upon him? Too late. Oh, do any of you here know what it is to feel before God? Too late, Lord, it's too late. Ah, but my dear friends, we read Isaiah 55, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. It's not too late, my friends, to seek God, will in the end of the living. But the Holy Ghost kindled that blessed exercise in everyone who worships here, Sabbath days as well. The Lord's work is perfect. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. We read that the wicked forsake his way and the righteous man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord. He will have mercy. That's divine declaration, friend. Wherever you may be tonight in your sinnership, a divine declaration, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, he'll abundantly pardon. Yes, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. Your ways, my ways. You limit me in your thoughts. I'm unlimited, Jehovah, yet I do according to my eternal counsel, and nothing else shall be done by me but according to my eternal counsel. Election is my secret. Work of God is my secret, but it's manifest by its gracious fruits and effects. Oh, we turn to the living God as poor, needy, wretched, undone sinners. So you may feel things are too late. Ah, while you're living, it's not too late to pray. While you're living, it's not too late to confess your sins and plead the pure word of God. That is no lie, but is verity and truth to the glory of God, to the glory of Christ, glory of your heavenly Father and the Holy Ghost. Friends, when the last breath has been drawn by us, our spirit leaves the body. No repentance the other side of death. No faith given, but damnation to the impenitent. Well, you see, that precious Lamb of God has been given as that mighty Saviour to save unto the uttermost. And all that belongs to him is pure and holy. His work was pure and holy. The people his Father's given him are in him, pure and holy, and shall live with him forever. It's by the imputation of his righteousness and by the gracious offering he made for their sins. Their sins were imputed over unto the Lord Jesus. He bore the punishment for our sins. Or was he hung and suffered there? As he groaned in Gethsemane and he sweat great drops of blood falling to the ground. Who would have thought that the eternal Son of God, appearing as that Son of Man, that God-man, should pray more earnestly, being in an agony? What a wonder it is. Oh, have you ever prayed more earnestly when you're in distress about your providence and your life and your sins and your affairs? When you're caught out in your sins and felt so ashamed, what could you do? Mercy, mercy, Lord. You feel the weight of eternity. Feel and know how shallow you are, how weak we are, how poor we are. Where would I get and you get, my friends, left to ourselves? All we like sheep have gone astray and would do so, except we're kept and preserved in Jesus. Solomon said, every man should know the plague of his own heart. But Jesus died for those poor sinners that have a dreadful plague, worse than the bubonic plague. In bubonic plague, I believe there's a terrible stench. That's where that rhyme comes from, the Ring of Roses, I believe, and a simple song, but it describes some of the symptoms and the immediate death, the falling down. And what a stench does my sinnership bring to my own nostrils and your nostrils at times, my friends. When without strength, condemned, in due time, God's time, holy time, pure time, Christ died for the ungodly once. Once. There's a hymn, I hope I can find it. I think it may be 760. All sufficient is our Jesus, though our sins are black as hell. From pollution he can raise us, or from nature's deepest cell. He on Calvary cancelled all his people's sins. Weeping saints, you know whether you weep before the Lord about your sins and your affairs, your need of tender mercy to surround you here below. Have you had to tell the Lord sometimes? I've had to tell him many times. I'm very strong in sin, but I'm weak in faith. I'm weak under trial. I'm as weak as water. Trials soon sweep me away, and I feel I'm going to lose all my religion and all my faith. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, weeping saint, forget thy mourning. Why cast down all troubled so? To the cross the eyes be turning. See what healing virtues flow. Christ exalted is the hope of Israel now. By virtue of his divine nature, all that he did as the Son of Man, infinite meritorious, the vilest of sinners. The vilest sinner out of hell, who lives to feel his need, is welcome. That's God. The God we naturally hate. The God whose ways and laws are so restrictive. Oh, so narrow. Oh, miserable Christianity. Miserable Christians. Always mourning, always confessing. Always seeking to walk uprightly in gravity and sincerity. Not, as it were, in all the joys and pleasures of this life. But that precious Jesus receives sinners as they are in all their filth and stink and stench. The vilest and out of hell who lives to fill his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Well, there's much one could say concerning Holy Emmanuel. He lived. He loved. He never sent anyone away while he lived here. And now he's ascended into heaven itself at the right hand of his heavenly Father, your Father, his Father. Oh, he made that plain to poor mourning Mary Magdalene, didn't he? Yes, my Father and your Father, my God and your God. Mary, you've part with me. Though I've cast out seven devils, notice the number seven. Oh, he offered himself. And therefore, you see, he lived that righteous life from his first breath to his expiring breath at Calvary. That was the life of his sacrifice. His living believer is as vital for your salvation as his death. He wove your righteousness. Our sins. My wandering mind. Oh, I say this most reverently. Christ had no wandering mind. He ever loved God. And he sought the glory of God. You haven't always. I have a nature and you have a nature. Always seeking our own glory, you know. It's very subtle, isn't it? But I know it's true. It's painful sometimes, very painful. And we need the grace to reign and subdue and sanctify and make us willing. The grace that reveals, the grace, my friends, that makes all things new. The grace that enables us to overcome. And as he came to the appointed hour, there's an appointed hour for your sins to be put away, friend. And even in the 21st century, those that believe will be sweetly favoured to know just a little here below that their sins in this 21st century AD and their heinous sins, yes, were put away at Calvary. You see, friends, it was the sins of the whole world for all time, the whole world of God's people, the elect. Yes, he quickens whom he will. And therefore I can safely say from the pulpit, without any flatters or setting people short, if you're quickened, you want God. You want his mercy. You need his blessing. You're a real chief of sinners. You're poor and needy. You've got a desperately wicked heart. You're so faint and so weak in the true faith. We want that true faith. Want the faith that comes from him, the life that's hid in Christ for sinners. Want to know your interest, that you're hid in him and in him forever. Him to be with you, him to guide you. And so he died once. Therefore, all is paid, sinner, all is paid. Oh, all is paid unto the holy law of God. That demands sinless perfection of you and sinless perfection of me. And all is paid in this. The debtor incurs wrath. Justice must be carried out. Sin must be punished. Man must die for his sins. How vital is that doctrine, the Son of Man, body and soul. A real man, says Joseph Hart in 23. A man that is a real man with wounds still gaping wide, with streams of blood once ran from hands and feet and side. Ah, it is no wild fancy of our brain, no metaphor we speak. This same dear man in heaven now reigns, the sufferer for our sake. Who, come then, repenting sinner, come. Approach with humble faith. Is paid the total sum, and your sins paid the total, and your sins are cancelled by his death. Not quite quoted those last third and fourth line, probably doesn't matter. Yes, he's paid the total sum, and all is cancelled by his death. It's the same precious gospel as it was in his day. The gospel hasn't changed, my friends, from the day the Lord Jesus spoke it purely, sacredly, powerfully. Every word of God is pure. Let not your heart be troubled. God knows your trouble. Christ knows your trouble. Your troubles. Are your troubles enlarged? Are they multiplied? Are they so variable? Your existence, your life, your sins, your dying day, eternity. Your sinnership. Not just your sins done past, but your sinnership today. The sins that break out from a sinnership in your thoughts, in your mind. The deceptions. Oh, the untruths. The unclean lusts. The pride, the covetousness, the worldly mindedness, the light-heartedness. What goes on in your heart, my friend? What goes on in mine? Oh, we're made to tremble ourselves, and we are brought to tremble before God. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me, in me, in my merit, in the shedding of my precious sin-atoning blood, in the finality of my sacrifice for sin. For your sinnership, friend, there's no more offering for sin. He died once. in my righteousness, not for myself, but the righteousness of God revealed to heaven by my life and my death and my resurrection. Your righteousness is in heaven, transgressor of the law every day. Not willful living in evil, though you have your slips and falls as all men do, especially those heart sins, but maybe as we recall in the scriptures, Solomon and David and good King Hezekiah and good King Jehoshaphat and Peter denying his Lord and Master while his sins were being atoned for. Oh, how different is God to man. Often think of the law at Sinai, you know. The law being given, they said they would do it. And because Moses was too long, they sang and danced to a golden calf. This is the God that brought out of Egypt. What violent wickedness. While the furnace was on the top of the mount, the thunders and the lightnings, they sang and danced under its shadow. Can we believe such things? Yes, if we know the plague of our own heart. And then poor Peter, being warned of what would happen, and he goes like a fool, I say that very carefully. Ah, my friends, how he trusted himself. He that trusts his own heart is a fool, it says, doesn't it? I mean it in that sense, you see. He trusted himself, didn't he? Down he goes, poor man. I know him not. Oaths. Solemn to oath, isn't it? And he cursed. That means imprecating himself with curses. They used to say that in the Jewish language. Cursed be I if I've done this. Protesting innocence. So cursed be I if I know the man. But that man loves you, Peter. God loves you, Peter. You're elect. Your epistles were addressed to the elect. Because you know who the first elect is, Christ. Blessed God. He looked upon him. Peter, what can you do now? Well, weep after a precious Christ. No merit in your weeping, Peter. No merit in your weeping here, my friends. The merit is in what is the life and death of Christ for you, but you will weep. Grace will make you weep, and grace will make you love. Oh, grace will make you follow. What the Lord could not do, weak through the flesh, God sending his own son, the righteousness of sin, and forcing, condemns sin in the flesh, the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The Lamb of God. Well, my friends, he lived, he died. He rose the third day for your justification. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? We read in Romans 8. No, you can't lay anything to the charge of Peter. God justified him. You can't lay any charge to Jacob. God justified him. Or to Thomas. God justified him. The sweet singer of Israel, wickedness, God justified him. Ah, my friend, he justifies the person, not their sins, but the person, because their sins have been punished. And they are made righteous by imputation of the righteousness of the God-man, Jesus Christ, over unto them. So they're righteous in the sight of God. He accounts them to be righteous. Yes, because they are found in Christ, who is to the church, the Lord, our righteousness. So, friend, seeking soul, confessing sinner, your righteousness is in heaven. You're not your own. Well, you see, this man receives and eateth with him. He forgives sins. He forgives sins. How the Simon the Pharisee queried who he was really. Why, if this man was really a righteous man and a prophet, he'd know this one was a sinner. Who is this on earth that forgives sins? And they spoke against him, murmured. He blasphemed to forgive sins. Ah, they viewed him as an ordinary man, as humanity only. and it was a spotless, pure humanity, they had no faith to believe that that man among them was the eternal Word, the Son of God, the great prophet, the Messiah. And so he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now that holy Jesus cannot lie, my friends. Now you know you're labouring here tonight, and I know mine. And I know sometimes when I'm driving home after preaching, my heart begins to wander. How long sometimes to further meditate and plead the precious things I've been trying to preach. Sometimes I'm favoured, and sometimes, oh, it's not too far, not many miles before the old mind starts wandering again. You may feel your heart softened in worship in chapel. And you go home, my friends, and there things cool down and the heart has to do, you have to do this in duty and that in duty, but the heart goes, doesn't it? Oh, that I had a capacity to do all the duties I have to do, the affairs to attend to, and yet, oh, that my heart and mind might stay upon him, but without me he can do nothing. So you write bitter things for your heart wanderings and your backsliding, bitter things in your heart. Oh, wretched man that I am, you say, who shall deliver me? Ah, the apostle knew it too. But he thanked Christ Jesus, Lord, that with his mind he served the law of God. You who fear God, you delight in the law of God after the inward man, don't you? The fear of the Lord is with you. You would be holy, says Joseph. Joseph, I would be holy, and we would. But when I would do good, evil is present with me. The good I would, I do not. The evil I would not, that I do. How to perform that, I know not. But yet, he had to confess his flesh served the law of sin. There's a contrariness, believer, in your heart. But come unto me in the labourings, the sorrows, the burden of it, the heaviness of it, the guilt of it, the bitterness in your soul. Come unto me. Jesus is a mighty Saviour. Helpless souls have here a friend. He's borne their misbehaviour the whole of their life. And his mercy knows no end. They who once his kindness prove find it everlasting love. I was allowed to hear the folks at Maystone, the men at the prayer meeting, confessing their sins. I think, well, they're godly people now. They used to be sinners. They're not sinners anymore. So just imagine in my childish way, they were confessing their past sins, but they weren't. They knew the plague. They knew its workings. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. And God will deal with you in this way. You can't make excuses for your sinnership. You can't, friend. You daren't. You weep before the Lord about it. Lord, pardon my iniquity. It is great. God won't have it that you should make light of sin. But he will have it that you should trust in him and believe in him. And he will have it by his work in your heart, bring you an eye to repentance, to his holy feet, weeping after a precious Christ. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And we also have that hymn, I think it's the same meter and only two verses by John Kent, the same as 760, I hope I've got the right number here. Oft as sins my soul assail thee, turn thy eyes to Jesus' blood. Nothing short of this can heal thee, seal thy peace or do thee good. Seek no healing, even tonight, my friends. Some of you may have made profession for many years now, but the sweet truth of the gospel remains as a firm, glorious foundation. The Holy Ghost make it such life to us. Seek no healing, not even tonight, but from Gilead's sovereign balm. Should the tears of deep contrition like a torrent drown thine eyes, Yet for sin there's no remission. There's no atonement by your tears, my friends. Your sins aren't pardoned merely on any ground of your weeping, but grace makes you weep. The atonement on the ground of Jesus pouring out his soul unto death, being numbered with the transgressors. That'll make you weep, and that'll make you love too. Oh, then you'll know what Nehemiah meant when he said, "Let the joy of the Lord be your strength." There's a peculiar joy in looking to Christ, a peace that passes all understanding. Should the tears of deep contrition, oh dear, like a torrent drown thine eyes, yet for sin there's no remission, but in this great sacrifice, true repentance, Christ to Israel freely gives. And a text often quoted, but I think about it earlier today, seems so sweet for a few moments earlier today. I know I often quote it. If we confess our sins. Oh, have you confessed sins today? Oh, do you have to confess your sins day by day? He is. This is the pure word of God. He is. Not that he might. He may do. He is faithful. That's a sure foundation truth. He is faithful and he's just. That's a sure foundation truth too. It's a holy thing for the Lord to do, to forgive your sins of today and your sins of tomorrow and of the day after and right to your dying day. Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse all unrighteousness. Therefore, you will be turned to Calvary. You will be turned to Christ, the Lamb in the midst of the throne, who was dead, alive forevermore to intercede. He ever lives to intercede before his Father's face. Give him my soul. Your poor, black, needy, helpless soul, never dying soul, precious, never dying soul. Give him my soul, thy cause to plead, nor doubt the Father's grace. The gift of all gifts is Christ. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, I said earlier, let not your heart be troubled. He's the same today as he was yesterday when he spoke it here below. You believe in God, believe also in me. Go out after me. Believe I am good. Believe the report that I receive sinners. Oh, come to my feet. Cast your care. Confess your sins. Yes, even to me. Draw near to me. In the prophet Zechariah and in Malachi, and James takes up the theme. It's rendered slightly differently in the two prophets. Yes, draw near unto God, he'll draw near unto you. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Well, I'd have to close. It's coming to 8:30. No, not got anywhere at all, really. Oh, this wondrous man, this blessed Lamb of God, he lives this evening in the court of heaven to help poor sinners. Oh, I haven't spoken rightly of him, but just very briefly and then to close, he's your King, believer. He reigns. That's why you haven't perished in your sins. That's why you're found on praying ground. I know that you're a poor man on praying ground. I know you're a needy sinner on praying ground. That's why you're found on praying ground. It's the work of God in the heart. This is the work of God. Ye believe on him whom he hath sent. To believe and trust alone to the Lamb of God. Through the changing scenes of life. Oh, my friends, you and I are weak in the flesh. But our help, my help, comes from the Lord. Now, believer, dare you deny that? Now, you look over your life, hospital operations, trials at home and trials at work, desperations, deeps, sorrows, all caught out in your sinnership, so many things. Yes, the Lord has shown you much mercy. Your help to this moment of time has come from the Lord, brought safely by his hand thus far. Why now give way to fear? But his promise path has overcome at last. Yes. And believe also me that your help is in me still. And your help is me in that unknown future. That unknown future. Cast thy burden. The margin is gift. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee, support thee. Yes, be that same God to thee in all the unknown as he has been thus far in life's journey. Well, I can only say, if you're on praying ground, you're safe. If you're pleading Christ, you're safe. You're confessing your sins. Yes, pleading all that Jesus done for sinners, you're safe. And you're safe to wrestle and you're safe to persist. It's deadly to turn back. Deadly. It really is. But you're safe in confession, safe in pleading, yes, safe in trusting, safe in coming to him. Job, godly Job, was so distressed, as you know. What a mystery God should try such a godly man. But it was the furtherance of the gospel in Job's life, those trials came. Mystery, isn't it? He didn't do anything wrong and particularly wicked to warrant those trials, like I do, like you do, some of you do too. You know the plague within, don't you? But the fruit was, behold, I'm vile. Oh, I've served thee, Lord, all my life and offered sacrifice, but I'm vile. But what's the sacred conclusion? I know that thou couldst do everything. Dear friend, may I be helped to believe tonight, and you be helped to believe in the Lamb of God that take away the sin of the world forever and ever. He can do everything and bring such a worm Jacob safely home to glory. Ah, may I be helped tonight, and you, as we journey on, to behold that Lamb of God which take away the sin of the world. The blood of Christ, a precious blood, cleanses from all sin, doubt it not, and reconciles thee soul to God from every folly, every fault. Let us ask thee, Lord's blessing upon thee word. O holy Lamb of God in the heavens, look down upon us in our low estate. Bless thy own precious word of life to our souls this night. And do grant we may each take a few things home. To have to be spiritually minded on our journey home, Lord. And call upon thy precious name. Please forgive all spoken wrongly tonight, may it please thee. And Lord, as we come to the close of another year, do grant, Lord, we may be favoured and spared according to thy goodwill. To meet in the new year, could it please thy great majesty? We plead now thy rich blessing as we depart. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us close with hymn number 89. When Adam by transgression fell, and conscious fled his Maker's face, linked in clandestine league with hell, he ruined all his future race. The seeds of evil once brought in, increased and filled the world with sin. Hymn 89.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion and comfort of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, both now and for evermore. Amen.